Let's pray for the preaching of God's word. Father God, we thank you so much for the Son you sent for our salvation. And Jesus, thank you for multiplying our efforts by indwelling us when we are saved with your Holy Spirit, our Comforter. And we thank you for Pentecost. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here among us now. And we thank you that you empower this word that is about to be spoken, that you make sense of it to us, that you bring us to our knees with it, and you call us to go about living our lives in faith and practice for you from it. For it's your inspired word to us, and now we ask you to bring light to our hearts fully this very day. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen. We have two scripture texts here that are farewells that are mentioned in the scripture. And the first is from Acts, the second from Corinthians. And when we had departed, Paul is saying, from them and set sail, we came by a straight course to Kos, and the next day to Rhodes from Patria. And having found a ship crossing Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. And when we had come in sight of Cyprus, leaving it on the left, we sailed to Syria and landed at Tyre. And there the ship was unloaded of its cargo, and having salt the disciples, we stayed there for 7 days. And through the Spirit, they were telling Paul, "Don't you go to Jerusalem." And when our days there were ended, we departed and went on our journey, and all of our wives and children accompanied us outside the city. And here's the scripture text for today. And kneeling down on the beach, we prayed, and we said farewell to one another. Then we went on board the ship, and they returned home. And finally, this wonderful blessing and a benediction and farewell from Paul and to the Corinthians. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. And then he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Well, I often don't talk about the title of my sermons, but today, farewell is the only word that I could use because it is a farewell sermon. But I love Paul's writing here in Acts and Corinthians, where he's saying, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. It's hard to know how to begin today because when you get to the end, it seems so necessary to look back at where we began 23 years ago when Kathy and I were called to Maupin by the Lord Jesus Christ, as you have called a new pastor and his wife, Matt and Carla Mantooth. It is the Lord who brought them here to you, and he is under the Lord's calling in his coming. For almost 23 years, Kathy and I have not just gone to church here. We have, with all our hearts, lived our lives with you. We have worshiped with you, prayed with you, laughed with you, cried with you, prayed over you during surgeries. Well, not during, but before, hopefully. Did you catch that? Sat with you in hospital rooms, stood with you at gravesides, celebrated baptisms and professions of faith, new members coming into Maupin, shared meals with you, studied the Bible with you, and watched the Lord do his quiet yet powerful, faithful work among us here at Maupin. And we are being led separately into new seasons of life today. And there is gratitude. There is love and, yes, a tenderness of heart in our letting go and fully entrusting one another to God. We both have to do that, don't we? Let grow and entrust one another to God. God's word today, as it does for us in all of life, gives us a language for such a time as this. In Acts 20 and 21, Paul is leaving people he dearly loves. He's not merely just changing locations. He's parting from a church into which he's poured out his life. Paul's farewell from Miletus is called one of the greatest farewells in all of Scripture, alongside of the farewells of Jacob and his sons, and Moses, Joshua, David, and Jonathan. Dear ones, goodbyes occupy great moments in history, don't they? But as they occupy these great moments in the life of the church, that is also not because the goodbye in itself is ultimate, but because love makes parting, real, genuine love makes parting weighty. A shallow love just waves at you and says goodbye and moves on. A deep love kneels, prays, weeps, embraces, and then by trusting in God, it moves on at the right time. That is what Paul does in the Scripture, and that is what the believers do. And this is the moment for what Kathy and I must do today here at Maupin. We have seen Paul and the church kneeling on the shore, praying together, saying goodbye. That is a picture of us this very day. And I wish with Paul to commend you to God and to the word of his grace as we together in worship this last time, kneeling together, praying together, and parting in faith together. And then wonderfully, he gives us these five imperatives of a final pastoral word that helps us so much. Rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and receive the blessing of the triune God. Let those five imperatives always be your calling and gospel unity together. That's Paul's intention. His farewell is so moving for us because it's not just sentimental fluff. It is the full of truth spoken from a heart of love. And so he looks the elders in the eye on that shore. He reminds them of how he lived among them. He served with them in humility. He served with tears among them. He endured trials among them. He preached publicly. He visited from house to house. He did not hold back anything that was profitable for the people. He proclaimed what mattered, repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when the time came to leave, he said, "Well, I hope everything works out for you." No. He did not say, "Oh, just remember me well." He did not say, "Oh, let's try to keep things the way they are." That's a death knell right there. Let's never do that. He did not say, "Trust in your goodness and your strength." He said something much stronger and much deeper. He gave them a place of refuge. He gave them a place of safety, saying, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace." And that's what I want to say to you today. That we commend you to the hands of God and to the word of his grace. One of the things a pastor has to remember or be reminded of sometimes, again and again, is that the church doesn't belong to him. And one of the things a congregation has to remember is the same. The church belongs to one person, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has seen fit to bring you a new pastor and a new wife as Kathy and I are leaving. And this is what Kathy and I prayed for some 23 years ago when we came to Maupin Avenue. We prayed for such a time as this, and we rejoice in God's goodness to us, in allowing us to see his fruitfulness of his benevolence bestowed to us all through our gospel ministry together. It has happened. And you have a new pastor coming on July the 1st because God has been gracious unto you. This realization has come to pass because we have always placed Jesus as the head of his church. And as Paul tells the Ephesian elders that the church was purchased by Christ's own blood, that means the church is precious to Jesus. The good work he has begun, he will bring about completion in us all. And he did not buy his church with silver and gold. No, he purchased it with himself, with his shed blood on Calvary. And that is why I can stand here today with tears, but I do not have to stand here in fear concerning you or concerning myself or concerning Maupin or our future. Pastors serve churches for a season, but the chief shepherd, Christ, he remains. For Christ, who purchased the church with his blood, he feeds his people by his word, he guards his flock by his spirit, and he raises up pastors and elders and deacons and teachers and servants, encouragers, prayer warriors, faithful members to continue the work of ministry. And this means this church has never depended on one person. It depends on the uniqueness of gift of every member to make it whole. And I believe, as I have always believed, that Jesus is the head of the church, the Savior of sinners, the shepherd of his sheep, the chief cornerstone. He is the one who has carried Maupin 100 years, and he'll carry you into the next 100 years. My and Kathy's farewell is not an ending, but a beginning. A shepherd may step aside, but Jesus, the shepherd, never retires. My voice will cease from this pulpit, but by Christ's Spirit, Matt Mantu's voice will continue to speak God's word to you. I leave you not in fear, but in the confidence of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has sustained his church 100 years, and he will, in spite of ourselves, do it another 100 if we just remain faithful and dependent on him. The same God who has led this church in the past goes before you now. Think of the family home where generations have gathered around a table, a kitchen table. Children grow up. Some move away. Some move back. Whoops. The furniture changes. Wallpaper changes. The voice around the table change. But if the foundation of that house is firm, the house stands. And in the church, our foundation is not brick, it's not mortar, it's not tradition, it's not personality, it's not money. Ours is foundation is Christ himself. So we will leave with tears, but we will never leave here in despair. And when I look back over these years, nearly 23, there are many memories. Some are big moments and some are just ordinary. And honestly, I think some of the ordinary are the most precious. What stands out most over these years is the steady, faithful work of God among us. The Lord, he has been faithful, not because we were always strong, not because everything was easy, not because there were no hard days, but because God is always faithful. There are times in ministry that will be joyful, times that things will be heavy. That is true of every real ministry. Paul says he served with tears to remind us that tears will be shed in ministry. Trials will be experienced among us. If you serve people long enough, the wonderful thing is you'll get to cry with them. And if you love a church long enough, its burdens will become yours. And if you shepherd a people long enough, you carry names and stories in your heart. And I want you to know that Kathy and I will always carry your names and stories in our hearts. We'll never forget you. How could we, your family? You have encouraged us more than you know. Your faith has encouraged us. Your kindness has encouraged us. Your willingness to serve has encouraged us. Your love for one another has encouraged us. And I want to say thank you. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Thank you for listening to the word of God from this pulpit here. Thank you for loving Kathy and me so well. Thank you for being patient with our weaknesses, especially mine. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for walking with us. Thank you for letting us be part of your lives. And I hope more than anything that over these years you have seen that what we have tried with all of our hearts to proclaim has not been Randy and Kathy, has not been ourselves, but has been Jesus Christ as Lord with ourselves as servants for your sake in Jesus' name. And this is what ministry is. It's not look at me. It's look at and look to Christ always. Paul tells the elders that he did not shrink back from declaring what was profitable. He didn't hold anything back. He taught publicly from house to house. He proclaimed repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes a church the church, nothing else. That is the heart of gospel ministry. Paul held back nothing good, preached the cross, taught the word publicly, and proclaimed repentance towards God and faith in Christ. So Maupin, keep the word of God central, not just in the pulpit, but in your homes, in your conversations, in your decisions, in your prayers, in your times of grief, and in your hopes. In your prayers for Matt and Carla, keep it solid. In the way you love one another, a church can survive many changes if it stays under the word of God. But a church that loses the word loses its life, because the word is the life of the church. So keep opening the scriptures. Keep asking, what has God said and where is Christ in this? Keep asking, how does the gospel shape us? How should it shape us? Keep praying the prayer that is the engine of the life by the Spirit in the church, for that is what prayer is. Prayer is dependence. Prayer says, Lord, unless you build the house, we labor in vain. Prayer says, Lord, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Prayer says, Lord, lead your church. So pray together that Maupin will keep giving every man, every woman, every child repeated opportunities to come to Christ, to grow in Christ, and to go forth in serving Christ, because that is the mission of the church. In Paul's final words in 2 Corinthians, he says, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace. And that is so practical a word for this church today, because you're in transition. And he gives these five imperatives to bring unity to the church. Rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace. That is a good roadmap for the days ahead, folks. Rejoice not because everything is easy, not because there are no tears, but because the Lord has been faithful and he will continue to be. Aim for restoration. That means do the work of mending. If something is strained, don't ignore it. If forgiveness is needed, offer it. If encouragement is needed, give it. If someone feels weak, move towards them, help them. Restoration is the Holy Spirit-inspired work of mending unity in Christ that requires humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love, and eagerness to maintain the unity and the bonds of the Spirit. And comfort one another. Some of you will feel this transition deeply. Some of you might be uncertain. Some may feel tired. Some may wonder what comes next. Do not rush past that. Comfort one another when that happens. Put your arm around someone. Send the note. Make the call. Pray the prayer. Share the meal. Mutual tenderness and comfort. Accomplish harmony and unity. And someone must make that first step and effort while another takes that hand. And agree with one another. That doesn't mean you'll have the same opinions about everything. You won't. But it does mean that you must keep agreeing on the main thing: Christ, his word, his gospel, his mission, his glory. Agreement is not shallow harmony for harmony's sakes, to go along, to get along, but it is unity in the apostolic truth with God's word as the standard and source of that unity. And live in peace. That doesn't happen by accident. Peace takes prayer, humility, self-control, repentance. Peace takes people deciding, I love Christ and I love his church more than I love getting my own way. So love one another well. Be quick to forgive. Be generous with your encouragement. Be patient with one another. Guard your unity among each other and embrace your God-given diversity. And remember, you are the body of Christ, the family of God, the eternal body of Christ. So treat one another as that, a redeemed family, a blood-bought family, grace-covered family, a spirit-bound family. And will you keep the doors of Maupin open? I love the image of doors. We have preached about it and talked about it over the years of what that means. Not just physical doors, but the doors of the gospel, the doors of the church, and the doors of our hearts. Keep the doors open. Keep the doors open to sinners in need of grace. Keep the doors open to people who are hurting. Keep the doors open to people who are different from you. Keep the doors open to children, young families, older saints, lonely people, searching people, broken people, new people, and people who are not sure they belong anywhere. Let this be a place where people can come and truly find grace. This must be the place where the love of Christ is not just spoken, but it is lived. Let sinners be welcomed and forgiven. Let no one be turned away because they are not like us. A place where people find grace, where Christ's love is lived, where sinners are welcomed and forgiven, where no one is turned away. How does this happen? Because when people walk through these doors, they don't just encounter a friendly church, which they will, but they encounter, more importantly than that, Jesus Christ crucified, risen, and full of mercy for them. And by God's grace, they will find him here. In Acts 21, Paul continues toward Jerusalem, knowing he has to leave, even though they want him to stay and they warn him. It is never easy to release someone you love. It is never easy to step into a future you can't fully see, is it? It's never easy to say, Lord, your will be done when your heart is tender. But that is faith, folks. Faith does not mean we have no tears. Faith means we trust God through the tears. The believers in Acts 21 are kneeling on the beach with Paul in prayer together. And that picture means more to me now, I get it, in other words, means more to me now than it did 23 years ago. They cannot control the future, but they in faith can pray together, and Paul can entrust them to God, and that is what we are doing today. Kathy and I are entrusting you to the Lord God, and you are entrusting us to God as we part. And we are not saying goodbye to the gospel. We're not saying goodbye to Christ's promises. We're not saying goodbye to the communion of the saints. We are entrusting one another to God, who never leaves nor forsakes his people. And that is why this is not goodbye forever. It's just in Christ until we meet again. Paul ends 2 Corinthians with one of the most beautiful blessings in the Bible. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That's a wonderful Trinitarian blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus. Why? Grace to forgive you. Grace to carry you. Grace to strengthen you. Grace for the next season. Grace for every weakness. Grace for every need. And the love of God? Oh, that's the Father's love that chose you, that adopted you, that keeps you, and will never let you go. The farewell letter says, love to sustain you. The Father has set his affection upon you, and he has called you his children. And then the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, who binds you together, who comforts you, who makes Christ known in you, the Holy Spirit who creates unity where the world would expect division. And the Spirit is a ministry, a fellowship which binds the church together. And that is always enough. Grace and love and fellowship, Christ the Father, the Spirit, the triune God with his people. So Maupin, will you stand fast in the Lord? Keep giving yourselves to the word. Keep praying, loving, welcoming, forgiving, and serving. Keep pointing people to Jesus. And keep believing that the Lord has been faithful and will still be faithful in the future. And thank you. Thank you for letting me be your pastor, for loving Kathy and I so well, for walking with us these 23 years. Thank you for your prayers, your kindness to us. Thank you for your encouragement, your patience, and your friendship. Thank you for allowing us to do gospel ministry alongside you. We will always carry you in our hearts and our prayers. And so now, I have to hand you over to God and to the word of his grace. So rejoice in the Lord. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Live in peace with one another. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. As we say these words, sola de gloria, meaning to God alone be the glory. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you with grateful hearts. Thank you for your faithfulness to Maupin Avenue Presbyterian Church, for every worship service, prayer, sermon, act of care, and quiet work of grace among your people. Thank you for the gift of gospel ministry. Christ, you are sufficient, and we rejoice that we have been called to serve you and proclaim you as Lord. Lord Jesus, Chief Shepherd, this church belongs to you, and you have led it by your word and spirit, and you will continue to lead it still. And as this chapter closes, keep this congregation from fear. Turn uncertainty into trust, transition into prayer, and memory into gratitude. And let hope rise because Christ is faithful. Give the elders wisdom, the deacons compassion, and every member love for one another and zeal for the gospel. Keep the doors open to all who need your grace, and let all who enter encounter Christ Jesus. Keep this church steadfast in its mission to help every man and woman and child come to Christ, to grow in Christ, and to go forth serving Christ. And teach us all to rejoice and seek restoration. Comfort one another, live in your truth, and dwell in your peace. And now, Father, we entrust one another to you, confident that what you begin, you will bring to completion, and that you will never leave nor forsake your people. And it is through Jesus Christ our Lord that we pray this. Amen. As we raise our hands heavenward, would you receive the blessing of our Father? Maupin family, stand fast in the Lord. Give yourselves to the Word. Give yourselves to prayer. Love one another deeply. Be quick to forgive, generous with encouragement, patient in weakness, and eager to guard the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus carry you. May the love of the God the Father sustain you. May the fellowship of the Holy Spirit bind you together. And may God of love and peace be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.